welcome to the agenda, or welcome to the regular commissioners. San Juan Fire District number 3 for June 13th, 2023. I'd like to call the meeting to order and start with the roll call. Commissioner Cawley?
Here.
And newly appointed Commissioner Henderson?
Here.
Okay, and Commissioner Cardinale is present, so we have all present. Okay, do we have any additions or changes to the agenda as printed so far?
Just wanted to make sure that you saw the action minutes for your special meeting, and you can cover those when you do your approval of minutes under consent agenda. That's the only changes that staff has for you.
Okay, great. Do we have any correspondence in the last 30 days?
Yes, we do. We have a thank you card from, assuming the name is Gusterson, because there's so many names here, about the birth of her granddaughter. And we have that as a thank you to the fire department. And we have a statement from Harry C. Regarding, well, I don't know, because we just got it. So it will be distributed to each of the commissioners and for review and further action that is deemed appropriate. Okay. That's all we have as far as communications.
Okay, thank you. So let's move on to citizens' comments. And just as a reminder, we have a 15-minute maximum for all comments, and each person is entitled to 3 minutes max. Do we have any citizens' comments?
There's a couple.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Go ahead.
Maureen C. I live in San Juan Island. I once again, I feel compelled to make a statement about the recent failings of the fire commission. At your special meeting on May 26th, you listed an agenda item that said evaluation of candidates for temporary commissioner vacancy. You offered no evaluation whatsoever. You asked no questions, and you failed to allow the public to review the resumes. You held an executive session under RCW 4330.110 parentheses 2. I believe 2 is incorrect. You came out of executive session quickly and voted an unqualified applicant over 2 extremely qualified applicants. No offense, Mr. Henderson, I'm sorry. It seemed apparent to many that you had discussed this matter privately and had agreed on a choice prior to the special meeting, once again violating the OPMA rule that all discussions shall be held in open public meeting. Your lack of transparency is glaring. Then came the contract addendum. I asked Dwight Cawley why not share the information with the public on that day. He said, oh, it's nothing, just vacation time pertaining to his retirement. He said I could get it through a public records request. I thought that that was pretty rude. Harry and I made a public records request for the addendum and for the names and contact information for the attorneys who reviewed and approved it. I learned that the retirement separation addendum indicated that Mr. Collins would be paid through December 31st, 2023, not up to his last day on November 3rd. There was an amount of money indicated that it, in addition to which, included leave accruals. So it was cold cash, public funds. And then this was the thing that caused me to make this statement. There was on this response to our public records, there was the following statement regarding legal review. Quote, attorneys review the documents but never approve them. All approvals are done by the Board of Commissioners, end quote. Are you kidding? Really? Does this district pay an attorney to do nothing? Honestly, I get no pleasure having to babysit this group. what you are doing and what you have done is wrong. Your actions impact the good men and women who serve this department. And I'm very disappointed in the commission and the chief. I thought you were all better people. Mr. Collins, I have come to believe that you really don't care about this community, nor do you care about the fire department. You seem to care about yourself the most and how much money you can extract from the district as you leave. These are public funds, and the fire commission has encouraged and enabled you to conduct yourself in this despicable manner. When the EMS merger failed, you got evil. You started an EMS unit that has proven costly and a burden on staff. You will leave the department in far worse shape than when you arrived. You talk and talk and talk, quoting the law and rules that are false, just your interpretations. The emperor has no clothes. Lastly, I just wanted to say, it really is important that you, at all meetings, and any document that you discuss at a meeting should be available to the public on the day of the meeting. I was pleased to see that Robin was distributing an agenda today. I don't remember that being done before. I could be wrong on that, but all materials that you discuss in the meeting should be available to the public at that meeting. I'd like this to become part of the statement, and I'll pass it to you, Robin.
Hello?
Sorry, I'm statement. I had a question for you.
Sir?
It's the last meeting, the meeting before last, but I was present on the phone. And Norman, you discussed an issue about insurance and different grades and safety. Remember this?
I'm thinking you, I can review offhand.
Maybe I'll just contact you because it's a question. I would like to get more information on that. I had trouble hearing it on the phone. But it was interesting.
WSRD?
It could be.
I can contact you later, Jake.
Okay. Yeah, be happy to go.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Hello. I'm not sure how long the fire commission has had their meetings on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock, but I would like to ask that maybe you can reconsider it at a time where anybody who works till 5 could actually attend.
All right, that will be taken under consideration. Yes, ma'am.
Name and address.
Could you leave us a name and address at the end of the meeting so that we can contact you about it?
Well, I sure could. I don't know why you need to contact me about it personally.
Well, but to give you some response to your inquiries. Anybody else? But me. Okay, Chair, that's the extent of the citizens' comments.
Okay, thank you. So let's jump into the consent agenda. Do we have any corrections to the regular minutes for the meeting of May 9th, 2023?
None from me.
Okay. Chief, you don't have any corrections?
None from staff, no.
Okay, so can I hear for a motion to approve the minutes for the regular meeting?
I hear a motion that the minutes for the May 9th, 2023 meeting be approved as published.
Okay, do I have a second?
That's going to be you.
Okay. that's
the
right.
Only
yes.
Two
okay.
That were in sitting were Commissioner Colley and yourself as chair. Newly appointed commissioner has not been sworn in yet and was not able to take action on those meetings.
Great. Thank you. So I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion passes. Okay. Let's go to the bills and payroll.
If I could, you have the minutes from the special meeting as action for approval as well.
So I need a motion to pass or to approve the meeting, the minutes of the meeting, the special meeting. Could you give me that date again, Chief?
May 26th.
May 23rd, 2023.
All right, I'll make a motion that the minutes for the May 26, 2023 special meeting be approved as published.
Okay, I'll second that. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. Okay. I take it now we're safe to go on to bills and payroll?
I would ask this one question for you. Since these are current bills and payroll, which we are doing moving forward, if you would like to have your new commissioner involved with those, I know he's been given the information, you would need to swear him in before that time, and then he would be able to be part of the decisions and discussion on bills and payroll. That is however you would like to proceed.
I think that's a good idea. Commissioner Colley, can you do the swearing in of the vice chair or the new commissioner?
Yes, I'll handle that right now. Mr. Anderson, can you stand up? I'd like you to repeat after me. I, Jerry Henderson, do solemnly swear.
I, Jerry Henderson, do solemnly swear
that I am a citizen of the United States and the state of Washington.
That I am a citizen of the United States and the state of Washington.
That I will support the Constitution, charter, laws.
That I will support the Constitution, charters, and laws.
And ordinances of San Juan County.
And ordinances of San Juan County.
And that I will faithfully, impartially perform the duties.
And that I will faithfully and impartially perform the duties.
Of the Office of Fire Commissioner.
Of the Office of Fire Commissioner.
In and for the County of San Juan.
In and for the County of San Juan.
State of Washington.
State of Washington.
As such duties are prescribed by law.
As such duties are prescribed by law.
And according to the best of my ability and understanding.
And according to the best of my ability and understanding.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Now we can have three commissioners voting on our payroll and bills. Okay, Chief, it's all yours.
Any questions on bills and payrolls that you have? There before you, you've had for review, nothing jumps out on payroll, and be happy to answer any questions on either set.
Okay, so does that, either of the other two commissioners have any questions?
I have none.
Okay.
I don't have any either, but I would like at some point to come in, Chief, and sit down and make sure I understand all the line items.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and I have just one question, and that is, I'm looking at the bills. Let's see, it would be, well, okay, now it's not coming up. I'm trying to do all of this on my computer. So I'm looking at a bill for personal services, and it shows that we've exceeded our budget for that line item. And I'm just wondering, it was I think it was 247% of what we had originally. Okay, nope, that's not it. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so you know what I'm referring to, Chief?
I do. You're referring to the expense reports. Where they're all told it's not in the current invoices because those were already paid. What you would be referring to is the line, it's going to be the 6561 5/22/2004 is going to be the line number where it rolls in professional services. The reason that that is over was for the 3-year audit that we did not specifically budget for coming into it. And I was going to cover that as we went into the May financials. And that is why that line is greater than we had anticipated because of the 3-year audit. And you know that that came back fully clear. It was approximately all told. Do you remember offhand the all totals, like 8,000?
Between 7 and 8.
Somewhere between 7,500 and 8,000. I can get you the specific numbers, but that's why that specific line item was over.
Okay, great. All right, that explains it. All right, thank you. Okay. Do I have a motion to pay the bills and payroll?
Yes, I'll make a motion that we pay the bills and payroll as presented to the commission.
Okay, do I have a second?
A second.
Okay, do I have any discussion? Okay, hearing none, take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. All righty, let's go on to new business. We need to appoint a vice chair commissioner at this time. And let me start by saying I'd like to see Commissioner Colley. I recommend Commissioner Colley for this position. Does anybody have any other ideas on this? Having heard none, I'll make the motion to appoint Commissioner Colley as vice chair commissioner. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, so Commissioner Colley, you're now the vice chair.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's move on to old business. Chief, tell us about the safe boat.
So since the last meeting to here, we've taken delivery of the new safe boat. As we looked at the final invoice, it was less than our original spec because as we reviewed it to make sure that it fit what we needed, we were able to pull off some of the costs. So, for example, it was originally spec'd with the original bid of having a flare system installed on the vessel itself. And as we reviewed and how we would actually use it for application, we said since that is for heat signatures and what we've seen is historic use in the past, they've spooled it up in response through acclimate weather and otherwise. Well, when it's cold and you're looking for logs and otherwise, that really doesn't fit the need for that to the tune of $30,000 to $40,000 that would have been added to the vessel price. What we said was, is since if we're looking for bodies or heat signatures, we have handheld thermal imaging cameras, and one of those will be assigned to the vessel, which is far more cost effective. So we pulled that off and brought us in under what that original big quote was. That's one example. So the boat was delivered, picked up, returned the leased vessel. And the comments that were made when we brought that leased vessel back, as they checked it in, they have a checklist and a clipboard that they came out to look at the vessel, and the individual basically put it aside and said, we've never seen one come back this clean and well taken care of. So they were ecstatic with the care and maintenance of that vessel that we had while we were out. They said if we have any additional needs to let them know. They were very pleased with the build. We were able to take it out and put it through some maneuvers down in Bremerton, brought it back, and there's going to be a little more update during ops of how we've been able to get that with some of our existing pilots comfortable with that new vessel. We are finalizing documents with Savvy Bank that Commissioner or Vice Chair Colley and I will go and sign. The interest rate might be maybe a third or a quarter point higher than we had talked, just because it's taken a little while to get that. Originally, it was going to be They were thinking right about 5.5. It might be 5.6, 5.7 once they validated exactly what those numbers would be for the tax exempt value. All documents have been given to them. They are pleased with it and finalizing documents for us to execute. Be happy to answer any questions on the new safe boat. That's where we're at for the update.
It's great news to hear that it's we finally got it here and it's in its home waters now. So looking forward to seeing it when I get back.
Fine.
Any comments from either of the other commissioners?
No, I have none. I know that, you know, having been in on this initial financing of it, I'm still very pleased with the 6.6 or 7 because that's so much lower than what everybody else offered. So I'll be happy to sign those documents.
Okay. Let's move on to Hanna Heights. What can you tell us about what's happening there, Chief?
So a couple developments on that where I was able to meet with the president of the Hanna Heights Homeowners Association and another one of the board members yesterday. Had good dialogue. This followed the State Department of Ecology came out. They have someone that's assigned. They came out last week on Friday to look at kind of how they're going to proceed moving forward. Having both conversations, so we have that individual's contact as well. It's complex for a couple different reasons. One is this is new. So as we found, as we were working through the PFMLA issues with a couple of our members early on, well, we're able to work through with the state now on something that's new. It's a fairly underfunded area, but the state ecology is doing everything they can to work with Hanna Heights. Talking with them, they're glad that we still have open dialogue. They want to work this in collaboration with us. They have broken it down into three main areas that we will continue in discussion with. They have a health focus, a process focus, and a financial focus, as you can well imagine. They're in the brainstorming mode right now of how do they maintain drinking water, and they estimate that they need approximately 5,000 gallons a day to serve these 42, 43 homes that are impacted. What does the process look like for mitigation and clean up the site to make sure that they have potable water? And then where are some of the finances? They've had some positive interactions with some people county-wise and state-wise, and they've had some frustrating ones. So as it was described to me, if we can help support them in pushing the issue forward, that would help them because they're pushing the issue forward from their side. They've run into some hurdles. They talked to some people at the state level, and even if they could get an emergency, appropriation, they may not see any funds until 2025. Well, they have a need for drinking water now. So as you know, legal counsel has been updated for that. And they are watching statewide, so we may have some additional angles that we can work on finding grants for them. And we will look as soon as we can get some more information back of setting up a follow-up meeting, do some site walking, and then work with them on how can we partner in helping either get drinking water, support them, and then how do we work through the process of mitigation and next steps, since it is the well that services station 33 right behind that station. So from an operation standpoint, what we've asked is that we don't fill any of the vehicles up there. We take that outside and we fill it from down here. We make sure that any washing or cleaning of the vehicles, since there's such a limitation on water, that we do that at one of the other stations. And then we'll be in open dialogue with idea brainstorming from the Hanna Heights group and otherwise as we get more and better information from the state and any other communities. But like I said, it's so early that I think there's only been one other community right now out of Snohomish County that has even started any of this. And so it's new to the state. It's new to everything. And we need to be as supportive as we can to Hanna Heights and the residents there that are impacted by this.
Yeah, I agree. We, whatever we can do to help them out, I think we should definitely keep that as a priority for us. Any comments from the other commissioners?
No, I can see where this is a real mess with again, it's one of those things that, you know, when it's been left so long that not much you can really do to mitigate it. And but we gotta, you know, I'm thinking just off the top of my head, and because I know nothing about this, you know, they put a big water tank up there and keep filling it with potable water that we have to, it gets hauled up there.
And that's what they're doing now. But obviously that has a cost impact. So trying to figure out a more permanent solution, and then how does it go? Because as you know, the PFOSes are a forever chemical. And there haven't been practices out of that station or in the area that would put new in, but because it's always there, there's the impact. So that's why working with State Ecology, who's the lead on this, is going to be able to give some of the best advice and direction to go.
Hmm. Okay, thanks for that, Chief. Go ahead.
It's not in public comment, but
I think the one is pissed up. Mr. Chair, we have a question or a statement from Ms. C. I'm going to go ahead and recognize her. And
thank you, Mr.
Go ahead.
I'm working with a group of citizens that are trying to put together cases of water or other ways of getting water to the Hannah Heights group. We've been asked by some people. I'm working with the Family Resource Center and the Community Foundation. And the question I have is, and maybe you guys know, have they flushed that tank at the storage? Have they been flushed? Is there any way the fire department can assist them in flushing those big items so that they can start to store water, clean water?
Chief,
I can answer a little bit, but I don't know if Chief, if you want, if you've got more information than I do on that.
So what I found out from yesterday talking with them, they've tested the water, they've taken the tank out of commission, and State Ecology is assessing what they can and can't do moving forward. Part of the problem is even if they remove everything from the tank, then they have to clean the tank. And if it's still leaching into the water, well, then they can't refill it, right? So that's where the brainstorming comes in of what other options do we have to get them potable water stored at the time and work through that. So they're right now at that information gathering stage of what options are there. But cleaning that tank, honestly, from visiting with them, it's a greater problem because it's been in all the water sources, right? So it's then in all the houses, which is in all the plumbing and all that stuff. So it's how do we work to get them potable water, whether it's bottled water, whether it's 5-gallon containers, whether it's, and they're bringing it in, which is why we were really glad to talk yesterday of what options do we have and what can we get some funding to do that. And there might be options that the fire department can do. I actually visited with Harry, opened it up for brainstorming with the group last night during all department drill, and some ideas were coming up that I want to share with them to say, how can we start working through some ideas to get them water on an ongoing basis now, not in 2024 or 2025. But they right now, from everything they're seeing, Mo, is they can't clean the tank and then put it back in service.
So then the houses have to be completely flushed to get to clear their systems. But I have one more question. Is it possible if we can obtain jugs, units, whatever, you know, those things can be, can they be stored at the station there?
I think anything is possible at this point in time, and we can explore through. That's going to be a distinct possibility.
To go get theirs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. So now we're moving on to financials.
Okay. Before you four, overall, target through May is at 42%. As you can see, for income, it's at 74% for total coming in. And even with that piece that was called out during the bills and payroll, overall budget for expenditures is at 33%. Overall, remember the target was at 42%. Payroll or personnel expenses are at 38%, and materials and services are at 24% and are within line. When you look at ending fund balances to actuals, revenues minus expenditures, we're at $1,158,314. Specifically for the month of May, before in the summary pieces, total fund assets are there. You see that total fund assets are $1,108,452. You see what the individual breakdowns for general fund, reserve fund are, since those are the ones that we're tracking. Those are totaled up into that $1,100,000 that I just referred to. Revenues and expenses, as I called out for all of you, accounts are within budget and within balance. Personnel is still up a bit on secondary to overtime, both from academies and from staffing for our leave. And then that one that you asked about, Mr. Chair, on the professional services, I did call that out, that it was higher than expected because of that three-year audit, but still overall, materials and services and expenditures are well under budget at 33% when the focus is 42%. Be happy to answer any questions on May financial summary overview and or the total amounts in year to date.
Okay, I don't have any questions. Does anybody else?
No, okay, I have.
Go ahead.
Just that, you know, I think this refutes the some of the public's perception that we're going broke, because that's not true, and these numbers reflect that very well. I mean, you're 33%, you're looking for 42. I think we're holding the line on our expenditures quite well.
Okay. And I agree with you, Commissioner Cawley. Things do look like they're doing okay right now. Let's move on to the staff reports.
One piece I would like that ties staff reports, and I'll turn it over to Assistant Chief Munn, and that ties into that comment that was made during the work session, as well as some of the looking forward that Commissioner Cawley has mentioned about apparatus and the potential. As you know, Chief Williams has moved on from Orcas. He did reach out as we had been talking, and this is where kind of the potential for two apparatus was out there. We were looking at potentially down the road, if we did have some surplus apparatus so that we had consistency in rigs or through the county, Orcas was interested in potentially purchasing a couple of them. He wanted to make sure that even as he exited, that if that was still something that the commission was interested in, Orcas Fire would still like to ponder that opportunity down the road should it develop. That's not a right now piece. They were originally looking at 2025. If I recall our original discussions, that may change, but I did want to mention, since I know Commissioner Cawley said that that was a possibility or something that you wanted to explore, that's still an opportunity that Orcas Fire may be interested in buying that, which would keep consistency through the county. Obviously, that's a much deeper discussion, but I wanted to make sure that as those were out there, you were aware that that's a possibility for you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stu. Let's cover the May operations report for you here real quick. The total responses for May were 98. 31% of those were all other responses outside of EMS, fires, hazards, and other services. 69% of those were EMS and rescue responses. That's an average of 3.2 calls a day. The average reaction time was 98 seconds, which is real close to our target reaction time of a minute and a half. Travel time was 7 minutes and 15 seconds. That's overall travel time, and I did adjust that number. We had some anomalous numbers that were delayed in the travel time that bumped the time significantly, so I pulled those out. So it's pretty clean average response time across the whole island. Real quick report here on staffing. We did meet our staffing needs, and as I reiterated last month, I wanted to reiterate again that We did have some staff that were on extended leave, and the positions were filled by both volunteers and career staff to make sure that we have that minimum staffing coverage made. And I just want to make sure and call out the folks that have helped do that, were instrumental in making that goal met. Call volume's a little lower than the same period last year. It's kind of trending now this year. For whatever reason, the call volume is a little lower, and we'll keep watching that. Average reaction time, we covered that. And then also just a note, the shift crews are staying busy with the standard routine, daily routine, community activities. I had a immediate operational priorities set up for you last month, and I wanted to update on those for you. We have been working on the daily activities for staff, and the shift staff in particular, and we're in processes of that, with reviewing that and making sure we're getting efficiency and the crews are staying focused on tasks that need to be accomplished and done for the community. We're also looking at some of the redundancies with the adjacent agency, and we're adapting. We've got a new set of tones that may help us do that moving forward. And as we review that, I'm going to prepare and planning to prepare a full review and recommendation for the chief, and hopefully have a recommendation forthcoming on that one soon. Just a quick note, we've got some new wildland firefighters. We're finalizing certifications, and you'll have an update on that next month. But the good news is we have a new crop of volunteers coming in, so they're needed, and we're happy to have them on board. And there's just a few more things to cover before I can give you a firm number on how many we onboarded. The other component to that, we're putting together a mobilization team again this year, as we did last year. This is a scheduled event. We have to get commitment from our members to staff two people to take a brush rig and go off island and help the state with the statewide efforts. And it's basically a voluntary commitment. The staff can participate, but they have to make sure they have coverage so it doesn't burden the agency and meeting our own needs locally. Last year we set up a schedule. It seemed to work pretty good. We weren't able to cover the whole summer. The goal is, if we could get full coverage, we can get that truck out helping the community, get our members experience out on larger fires, and it's a cost neutral, potentially a cost benefit, a revenue benefit that we could see coming in, because the engine that we send out is basically it's a rental, so the government's paying us to have that engine out, and they cover all the costs of personnel. We are also putting in a Fireboat 31, as Norman Chief Collins mentioned. We have delivery of the boat was on 5/23, and I just wanted to note, since then we've got approximately 30 total hours of helm time and mate time put in, which is commendable, because it's a large amount of time for just a few folks that are getting trained up on the boat. The vessel has got several components in it that we need to focus on. Part of the priority right now is just safe and accurate operation and operating it within its limits, getting the pilots used to it, getting the mates used to the nav system, and getting that seamless. Once we feel comfortable with that, we open the doors for the crew to come in and start working with it, operating the pump, and working on the novel patient transport system. So these things are all basically built in order. We want to make success along the way so that we're not leaving any gaps. That said, on that vessel, we do have a grant prepared to get some funding back for the patient transport component. Under the LNI's got a firefighter injury and illness reduction program, and we're submitting for full cost recovery for stuff like the customized bow ramp, the trolley system, the bench, those kind of components that went to that vessel, particularly for patient care and for responder care that's designed to help responders save their backs. We're hopefully going to recover some of those costs, so we'll see. The program's a good program, and I have confidence we should get some funding out of that. It helps pay for the boat. Let's see, the other component of that program we're looking at is the change in operations is the backup duty officer role. We're looking at having coordinate and schedule the vessel readiness. So rather than strictly volunteer mode, which is how we've run it in the past, where hopefully folks go down and get to the boat and launch it when it's needed, we actually have a scheduled sign up. So duty officer knows when that vessel's available or when it isn't, and if we have to flex or adjust the shift crew or let people know, hey, you need to be down there so we can ensure the vessel launches when it's needed. Aside from that, that's what I got. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Again, I'm beating this horse, not for you, thank you, but for the chief. Where are we on the ILA for the inspection? So fire inspections.
I was going to add that in when I hit the chief's report for that. And I also wanted to add in a couple things on the operations report. Number one, where Assistant Chief Monin talked about the deployment. It is zero cost to the district when we send people off because we get 100% reimbursement when it goes out on a state MOB. It's approved to go out. We won't send it out a crew unless we have absolute backfill to make sure that we protect at home. And the vehicle that goes out, we make sure that we have enough depth at home. The one piece that you can't put a dollar figure on is the crew that goes get some invaluable experience in responding to large incident command system run scenes and fires that we just can't get in the county. And we don't ever want to have something like that happen within the county. So sending them off to help another group, whether it's in state or as we sent down to California with the devastating fires down there, crews came back with great experience, great knowledge, and then they're able to share that with the other members here that aren't able to go out and gain those experiences. So that's another benefit of the MOB plan. The piece, and appreciate that Chief Monin put together the ability to submit for that grant. Last year, that LNI grant, they had more money then they had submissions, which is why the confidence is slightly higher because they were pushing us to say, we'll put in for this. We actually, as part of the plan, by participating in this FIRE, F-I-I-R-E program with LNI in reducing injuries to and protecting our firefighters and responders, it was part of the plan that we put together to mitigate that and help for patient movement, which is why we designed it the way we did. They said, well, you should put in for this grant to see if you can get some back. So it was worded specifically tying to the plan that we put together as being part of this program to build the case to get that any awards. So that's why we're hoping that it will go down that road. Moving on to the other part to specifically answer your question, we had a draft that came in from the town. I reached back out to both Administrator Colseth and Fire Marshal Erickson. Ryan's been giving information for us to put together. We're anticipating once we start this process in the fall, we will anticipate doing 30 of the B2 level business inspections on an annual basis until they all get done, and then we'll reassess how often they get done from the standpoint. Where are we with the ILA? When I reached out to Administrator Colseth, who had done the initial piece, she said, honestly, it fell off a little lower on the priorities because they're working with the water system in the town and some sewer system development. So I said, well, as offer, you've got the foundation, give it back to us. We'll go over that work with legal counsel. So it's in process, and I would anticipate next month we would probably have a draft coming before you and or legal to review those standpoints for the ILA, both for the town giving us responsibility for investigations and then the contract for the inspections with the remuneration from the town for us for taking on that burden. And then it would be tied in for the crews. It's still on track to be starting in the fall with the first business inspections following the shoulder season, so we don't impact those businesses during their peak, but still right on track to meet that goal that you all set. Don't have any other updates for you for that. Be happy to answer any questions on any of the staff reports that were delivered.
I have none.
Okay, I'm good. All righty. That's that covers everything that we've got on our agenda for today. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn, and I'd like to make sure that the public is aware that Chair Cardinelli is not here because of a medical situation. So it's not that he planned on being here, but it's cropped up, and as we know, particularly I, that you don't plan for these things. So I'd make a motion close the meeting.
Okay. Thank you for that, Commissioner Colley. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you, everyone.